Well, welcome back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast, where we explore the culinary background of the Comox Valley in Vancouver Island. I am Chef Jonathan Fraser, and once again, I am here with
Darren Howlett, as always. And today we're sitting down with Michelle of Hazelmere Farms.
Hi.
Hi. And so maybe we can just get right into it. What is Hazelmere Farms? What can you tell us about Hazelmere Farms?
Yeah, my parents and I moved to Canada about 15 years ago, well, 16 years ago, and we settled straight to Comox Valley.
Wow.
And they were looking for a farm for a year, and then they found a beautiful piece of property. It's on Grant Road. It's
right
off of Mentor Road or like the Comox Valley Parkway, mm-hmm, near the visitor center or Select Lumber Nielsen Roofing.
Right.
It's kind of hard to describe the location because it's not quite Cumberland and it's not quite Royston. It's
right.
Like, you know, it's kind of funny because I knew Hazelmere Farm
because
I know of the great vegetables you guys are growing and the food that's coming out of there. But I was by accident that I found out where the farm was because I was just sort of driving around in that area. And I knew it was roughly in that area. And I grew up in this area my whole life.
Yeah, same.
Funny.
And then I just pulled down the street and I'm like, oh my God, this is where it is.
I actually found it just a week ago. I was out berry picking with the kids and we were at the same thing out Fraser Road, then Minto and then everything. And then came across it. It was like, oh, there. Here's where it is. But yeah, great. And in all honesty, I wasn't absolutely familiar with everything you did. I know that you did do hazelnuts because people had talked about it before.
No, actually not hazelnut, although it's called Hazelmere Farm. But the name is just a continuation. Like my parents didn't bother to change the name that they acquired the farm. Well, the farm came with this name.
Oh, okay.
But they started out growing wasabi. And that was kind of like the buzzword.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I remember there was coverage in the newspaper. There was quite a bit at one point. This farm that was going to be doing wasabi.
Yeah, they grew like almost an acre of wasabi, mm-hmm, and like they imported thousands of tissue cultures from Taiwan, and they started growing a lot of wasabi, and that's kind of where the valley knows my parents from,
like, right?
The wasabi couple,
mm-hmm,
we did supply to various restaurants or like all in Canada and West Coast mostly. And
oh wow,
yeah. But then, like, the market was proven to be not big enough.
Right.
Yeah. But the production was too small for exporting to Japan. So, they kind of just scaled down and cut back the production. And now we still have some wasabis. And a lot of people from the valley have wasabi plants from my parents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Comox Valley maybe has a strangely high concentration of people who have wasabi plants in this country.
I have one in my backyard, actually.
Oh, yeah.
My roommate bought one, and so we're growing it in the back. So
yeah.
It's quite nice. And he's like, oh, I got that.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, so that's where, you know, your parents made their mark in the valley. Like, that's what they introduced. That's what they brought. But you do more than just wasabi.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. What other sort of key elements are?
Well, just we basically grow everything in arrays of vegetables, leafy vegetables, and, you know, everything. And some fruits, some berries, raspberries, we have quite a bit. And some more exotic ones, like this week and last week, we sold some figs at the farmer's market.
Oh, yeah.
And it definitely stems from my father's passion and his own hobby of growing more or less exotic fruits in the greenhouses. It's really not commercial because it doesn't really justify the,
right,
the cost of building the greenhouses. But he loved it. And we love eating figs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's important, right? To be able to get something from somebody that has passion in growing. That's absolutely key, for sure. That's great. So, so I guess more or less he has some of the stuff which is sort of like cash crop, and then other things which are just sort of fun. Like just to for it to satisfy his own interests, or
the fruit trees are for fun. But yeah, they're popular.
Yeah.
Figs are popular and peaches.
Yeah.
When we have a surplus of them.
Oh, wow.
We sell at the market. And we have chickens.
Right.
Yeah. We have laying hens. And we just started raising 3 pigs this year.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. Maybe yeah. This is just a one-time thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, and then you've said a couple of times at the market, so that's where where people would probably recognize you most from is from the market.
Yeah,
right.
We go there regularly.
Right. Yeah. And do you sell elsewhere though?
Not really. Like Sunshine Organic.
Right.
I don't know if you're familiar with Rachel. She does the CSA.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. From time to time, when we have like a huge surplus of wine vegetables, we try to distribute it
right.
to someone. Like we've supplied Gorilla Foods one
right.
time,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And 20 pounds of spinach, yeah. But we right. don't do that very often because we didn't design to
right
to that we didn't plan our production that way.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And so you said too, sorry, but just as you were sitting down, you said that you're only just back to this. Where were you in the grand scheme for the last few years?
Yeah, I came here and I finished last year of high school. And right after that, I was just away for school.
Right.
And then for the past 5 or 6 years, I was in Asia,
yeah.
mainly in Taiwan, but I traveled to India and
oh,
also...
Yeah.
Yeah, taught in English in Japan.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And nice. I got married, and I brought my husband back with
oh, wow.
me to the Valley, and he loves it, which is, yeah,
yeah.
fortunate and lucky
That's
for
great.
Me.
Yeah. yeah.
Yes. So we just came back this March 2015 and settled down here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. And so you're still involved in the farm then?
Yeah, I run the farm with my parents. And, well, my husband, he sells the produce with me at the farmer's market. He's learning the names of the produce. He's
yeah.
not actively involved in the production. He's
right.
a woodworker.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, he loves nature. And
oh, that's fantastic.
He likes being fed.
Don't we all?
With delicious yes. food.
That's great. So, and is that the general idea then, is to continue on, or is there plans to get bigger? Is there plans to narrow down to just one thing or diversify into more things?
Or new,
yeah.
new vegetables?
Yeah, I'm trying vegetables? To figure that myself.
Yeah,
yeah, because yeah, for my parents, the growing vegetable side of it, although my mom is really gung-ho,
mm-hmm.
she's been described as a busy bee, and she is very passionate about
yeah.
beekeeping. Now, so
oh, yeah.
it fits
okay.
her image. So although this is kind of the growing vegetable side after the wasabi, it was kind of a extended hobby farm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
right.
it became like bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I think for them, it's time to slow down.
Right.
And they did slow down a little bit last year. But
right.
this year we came back and my mom thought, oh, we could do more this year.
Yeah.
So we're still very busy this year. And I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I think growing vegetables as a business is really quite tough.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I think we will always like grow vegetables and
right.
we'll always grow food. Just, you know, as a lifestyle, and I can't really imagine doing otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This will always be our lifestyle. But in terms of growing a business, maybe
yeah.
I will find something else. Maybe
yeah.
Help my new immigrant husband to set up his business as you know, the
yeah.
main money making
right,
venture.
Yeah.
Right.
right.
Yeah.
And then you can keep the farm as being the fun and the hobby and the
yeah, and we do love we do love sharing our bounties with the communities
mm-hmm.
and interacting with the customers who
right.
like our produce.
Mm-hmm,
yeah, we really like that, and we really want to share our our bounty
right. yeah.
with
well,
the community.
Yeah.
yeah.
Great. And so what's coming up? Like, what do you have left for the growing season? What's still to come?
What's the big vegetable?
Well, we still have, hopefully we can bring some white peaches to the market.
Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah,
nice.
They're really delicious.
Yeah.
And we have melons.
Nice.
Yeah, melons are still growing on the vine.
Yeah.
And then maybe after all the fruits, it's, leafy vegetables will come back again as the summer cools down. And then, like, maybe afterwards it's, like, more onions and leeks and squashes.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So there's still quite a bit to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do actually have a bit of a farming question for you about just with this year being so dry.
Yeah.
Have you found it a bit of a challenge on the farm, or are you well stocked with water, or...?
Yeah, we have a really good water source, but it's just been really challenging, like germinating seeds, like sowing carrots multiple times because they just, I don't know where they went. They just cooked inside the soil under the sun. Yeah. And but generally, we're lucky because we have a good water source. But just like maybe adjusting to different expectations because everything is like 3 weeks early or like a month early.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know blackberries definitely took us big. I think that was the biggest thing for people around here. Everybody knows in the valley, you know, first, like end of the first weekend of August, that's when blackberries come in. That's when you can start looking. And here we are late June. Mm-hmm. Everybody can start getting blackberries. And I think that was I know that a lot of people I've talked to, that's when they hit home for them. They're like, wow, like everything is off kilter. Like everything is out of sync right now. And just having to roll with it. I can't imagine what you guys are having to go through. But yeah, it must be difficult. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's challenging indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for coming in and sitting with us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
been... I've been wanting to have you on the show for a while. And so how can people find Hazelmere Farms, or how can they find your product?
We are at the farmer's market almost every week. Mm-hmm. We will continue to be there, I think, well into October. I don't know too much about the winter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and you can also find us on the Grower's Guide. Check out what we have. And we do have some people, like we don't have a formal farm gate sale, but people always like phone and see like if they can pick up some frozen raspberries or chickens, organic eggs.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
So do you have a phone number for people?
Yes. It's 250-336-2308. Yeah.
Great. Excellent. Okay. Fantastic. Well, thank you again.
Yes,
thank you again.
All right. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Edible Valley podcast. You can get a hold of us at our email, ediblevalley@gmail.com.